Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So we're starting a series this morning entitled A Revelation of God's Names, or the Names of God. Psalm 135 verse 13 says this, Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, throughout all generations. Everybody say all generations. That includes me and you. Amen. Amen. Before we get into this morning, we need to understand a few things. And I think almost every resource I've looked at starts out by explaining this concept because it's absolutely critical for us to understand. And even before I get there, I need to say this morning. We are Christians. Can you say amen? Amen? We are saved by the blood of the Lamb. And we are Christians. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are not Jewish and nor Gentile. We are all one in the same now. Amen. But in order for us to understand some of the things that the Lord wants to show us, we need to understand the Eastern culture of that day in order for us to grasp what God is saying. Now, as a church, we celebrate the feasts of God. They're actually called the feasts of God. And we celebrate certain things. We do not celebrate all customs because we don't have to. We're not under the law. Amen. But we do celebrate certain things that carry a tremendous amount of power in the Spirit. We are not under the law. We are under grace. Amen. But as a church, we learn from the things that God wants to show us out of His Word, out of the Old Testament. And in order for us to grasp that, for example, we're going to be looking at the original language and looking at the names of God, the way that they were spoken in the beginning, in order for us to fully grasp what it means. It's very interesting that, I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but it's very interesting, let me say this, that in order for us to truly understand the Old Testament, we need to be able to understand that culture. When we look at things in a Western civilization, especially today, if I have to hold up, if I have to tell you, what is that pulpit? Immediately our minds begin to think of what it looks like. But the Eastern culture, that culture of that day, looks always at the function of something. They don't look necessarily of what it looks like. So we look at adjectives and nouns more, and whereas everything that they looked at was more of a verb. So everything had a function. Every letter had a function. And so when we look at the original language, we must look at what we call the pictographs, which was what the Hebrew language was started in. It was actually pictures. And those pictures paint a picture of what God was actually saying. So every letter is actually a picture. Now, if we have to take those pictures and I have to read to you those pictures and what they mean, we're going to be like, what on earth is he saying? And that's why the scholars have interpreted that into a language that we can understand, which is letters. Those letters then get translated into a language that we truly understand, which is English. Amen. And then we get basically what it really means. But you must understand that this is how the language has been translated. In order to get the true meaning, we need to go back to the original, which is the pictures. Now, what I want you to understand right off the bat is that I believe with all of my heart that these names carry a tremendous amount of authority and power because they are God's names. However, what you must never lose sight of, and I believe this firmly, and I'll show you something later on, is that the name, the words, are not what carry the power. What carries the power is the message behind the words. So in other words, what I'm saying to you is that if that culture spoke in pictures, they were trying to give you a picture of something. It wasn't the letters that we worship, it's the picture, it's the message. So if God says, this is who I am, this is who I am, whether it's in English, German, French, Portuguese, Hebrew, or whatever. Doesn't matter what the language is, What's important is, what did God say? And that's what we apply. I don't worship the name. I worship the person. I worship God. Amen. Are you guys okay? All right, let's get into this thing this morning. Are you excited? Today, when we pick a name, we pick names based on what they sound like, what is popular, what sounds good with my last name, right? It's important, right? But if you look at that culture, names meant so much more than that. A name actually would become what so many of them actually would become, like their character. You actually see in the Bible many times how names were changed of people. Like Jacob, his name was changed to Israel. And his original meaning actually means deceiver. But Israel means one who prevails. Amen. So we see how God actually changes names in order for the meaning of that person to come out. The name Abram became Abraham. In the New Testament, we see Simon's name become Peter. Amen. We see Saul become Paul. So there's obviously something about the name that is important that we need to pay attention to. In the culture of that day, they would call names after someone, you know, it would be a name of someone that, of an event that took place, or what they believed that person would be. So for example, Jacob, when he came out of his mother's womb, he was holding his brother's foot. So that's why she called him Jacob. Are you guys okay? So we must understand that the meaning of the name is extremely important. Now, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but let me say this to you. Let's go to Exodus 33, verse 17. I'll give you an idea of how God feels about this. Let's take a look at this. Exodus 33, 17. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, Moses said to God now, please show me your glory. How many of you say, Lord, show me your glory? Show me your ways, Lord. Show me your glory. Show me who you are. Show me. Then he said, I will make my goodness pass before you. Now watch. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. So in order for us to get the full picture of his glory and who he truly is, we must understand his name, because his name carries who he is. His name carries his nature. His name carries his character. His name is who he is. And if we don't understand the fullness of that, we miss out on who God truly actually is. So many of us say, Lord, I want to know you more. But if we just go to the Word and study his name, we'll discover so much about who he truly is. And I really hope that this will come through to you. Now, I want to show you something interesting. In Genesis 11 verse 4, 11 verse 1, which we'll go there, 11 verse 1, we'll go there in a second. I want to show you how important names were to them in that day. These guys were not happy and they were against God, and watch what happens here. They're busy building the tower, and watch what they say. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and dwelt there. Then they said to one another, this is what they said, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Watch, let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. So they understood the power of a name. And they wanted to make a name for themselves. And they didn't want to carry the name necessarily that God had given them. Amen. Or that they wanted to make a name for themselves. So we see the importance of a name right there. Now, before we get to the first name, Exodus 20 verse 7 says this, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. The reason why I want to share this with you is because as we study the names of God, you will begin to understand and begin to see the personality, the character, the goodness of God, the glory of God will be revealed to you through his name. When you take his name in vain or out of context, what you are doing is you are not representing his character. Or you are falsely representing him. How many of you would like it if someone took your name and pretended they were you? Or they falsely represented you. They go and they represent you to someone falsely by saying things that you don't say, by displaying your nature or your character in ways that you are not. That's what happens when we use his name in vain. What we're doing is we're using his name most times, or oftentimes we're using it in a derogatory way for a situation, and we use his name just out plainly when it has nothing to do with his nature or character. It's very quiet in Vero Beach this morning. Come on, guys, it's not that bad. Amen. Next time you say God, just say, you are my healer. Amen. Use his name. When you understand this morning and over the next few weeks just how powerful that name is, every time you say God, you are going to realize what you are busy saying and what is available to you because of that name. And it's going to change your life like it's busy changing my life. I promise you, church, my nose has been in the books. Let me put it to you that way. I have been studying and studying and studying, and it doesn't end because the amount of information and what's out there about the power in the names of God is overwhelming. And it makes me realize how holy just his name is. The first name we're going to look at in the Bible is mentioned right in the beginning. Genesis 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The first thing you need to understand about God is that he exists outside of time. Listen, in the beginning, God created. So in other words, God was there in the beginning. And he created. So he lives outside of time. Because the beginning of time, as we know it, God was there and began creating. So you can't put God in a time clock. That's why he is omnipresent, omnipotent. He is everywhere. He's the beginning and the end. He lives outside of time. In the beginning, God created. So God created the beginning. Amen. Are you with me? Now, the first name that we're going to look at is the name of God that's used there. In the beginning, God, that word is the word Elohim. Elohim. Now, the word Elohim is written in English in a way that we can understand it, Elohim. But in the Hebrew, now those of you that study Hebrew will study and know that in Hebrew, we don't write the way that we write, they write the other way. So the first letter would be on the right, working towards the left. Now, I want to show you, and I really would love to have these images up for you, and I'm going to try and do that next week. But I'll do my best, I'll endeavor my best to show you the power of this name with every word from the original language. The first letter that is used to describe his name is the letter Aleph. Aleph. And it kind of looks like an N, but it's not an N, okay? It's the letter Aleph, which is the first letter. Now, the letter Aleph, it basically in the pictographs is a picture of an ox. So the E in Elohim, which is Aleph in the Hebrew, is a picture of an ox, which represents the first, a strong leader, symbolic of God the Father. It represents strength. It's a picture of an ox. Now you must understand, in the culture in that day, the strongest animal that would help the farmers, because that's what they were in those days, they were farmers, would be the ox. It would plow and it would have strength and it would help carry them through and it would help lead them and it would help feed them. Amen. So the picture of the ox is the first picture image, which is the Aleph. The second letter is the Lamed, which represents a shepherd's staff. Now we're talking about El. So it's the second letter, which would be the L, which is the Lamed, which is the shepherd's staff, which speaks of authority. So now we see the strong ox with authority. is the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Isn't that powerful? The third letter is the letter He. And this is basically a man with hands up to heaven. And what it does is it reveals, or it basically is someone who is getting revelation, a revelator, or behold. That's what it represents. The fourth letter is the letter Yod, which is closed hands, or to work a mighty deed, a hand. The last letter is the letter Mem, which is actually in the pictograph water. It shows water. Now that letter Mem is a powerful letter, because when you see the letter Mem at the end of a word, it oftentimes or most times represents plurality. So we see in the Elohim, many scholars believe that the Elohim represents the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, because you see the singular and the plurality. Also, what you see in these letters, look at this, this is so powerful, is the Alpha, Lamed, He, Yod, and Mem. The first is an ox. The second is a shepherd with authority. You see God, who is the revealer, the revelatory one. You see a mighty work and the water. In his name, you see how God is the creator. Just in his name, Elohim. That his name brings out the fact that he separated the waters with his hands. That he used his revelation, his power, to bring life to this earth. Just the name Elohim speaks primarily of an almighty God, but a God that is a creator. It gives us more of an idea of God's strength and creative ability. If you had to give a description of the word Elohim, it would be greatness. It would be the first name. It would be sovereignty. It would be strength. It would be creativeness, because he used his hands to create. It would be governing power. That's what the word Elohim would mean. Now, from Genesis 1 to Genesis 2, 4, we see in the creation the word Elohim used for every description when God is used. So God created. God created this. God did this on the second day. God did that. We see only the word Elohim. Why? Because the word Elohim describes his creativeness. Amen. The word Elohim is used 32 times in the Old Testament in the beginning up until Genesis 2, 4. 32 times to describe his creation. Then in Genesis 2, 3, watch this. Let me read this to you. Guys, I have to teach sometimes. Amen. I'll get you jumping a little bit later. Amen. Genesis 2, 3 says this. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. So that's God there is Elohim. Because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth. When they were created, in the day that the Lord, that's the first time we see a different word used, and God there is the word Elohim. So he's basically saying Lord, and the word there is the word Yahweh. Yahweh. Now I'll talk about explaining and pronouncing all of it next week. I'm not going to get into Yahweh now. Amen. So we see Lord God there, Yahweh Elohim over there. Now Yahweh is the first time he's finished creating, and now he starts with Yahweh, which speaks more of a relational God, which as I said, we'll get more into later. I want to stick with Elohim today. So Yahweh is more relational. Some scholars actually say the TLV Bible uses the word Adonai there to describe him. But most scholars, most Bibles, most interpretations use the word Yahweh. Now, oftentimes you will see, instead of the word Elohim, you'll see just the word El used, E-L, used to describe God. Now, this is important. As I said earlier on, the two letters used for E and El are Aleph and Lamed, the ox head and the shepherd's staff, which speaks of God, the ox head, the strength, and the shepherd authority. Right. This word is used 235 times in the Old Testament. That's a lot. Amen. 235 times. Now, let me give you an example of where this word is applied. Watch this. So, in Psalm 18, verse 32, this is what it says. Psalm 18, 32. It is God, the word there is El, who arms me with strength. Why? Because he is the one who gives authority and strength. So David uses, when he says the word God there, he uses the word El, who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. So we see in the word Elohim, God's creativeness. We see his strength. We see his authority. It's a very powerful word that's used thousands of times in the Old Testament to describe God. But oftentimes you'll see us associated to his majesty, his creative power. Is that okay? Now. Everybody say now. Now out of that name comes the letter L, E-L, which stands for God. Comes two words that I want to discuss with you this morning. Two names of God that are so powerful, that are introduced to us in the beginning, close to the beginning. The first name I want to look at is the name El Elyon. El Elyon, or it basically means God Most High. God Most High. This name is used for the first time in Genesis 14. Let's go there together. Are you guys doing okay? Genesis 14, verse number 8. So this is in the time of Abram. Watch what happens. And the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, the king of Zeboim, the king of Bela, that is Zor, went out and joined together in battle in the valley of Sidon against the Chaldaroma, king of Elam, title king of nations, Armaphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elazar. Four kings against five, and I think you should clap for me for saying all those names. Amen. Now watch. Now the valley of Sidon was full of asphalt pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. Some fell there and remained, and the remainder fled to the mountains. Then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all their provisions, and went their ways. They also took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the Tibnath trees of Mirmah, the Amorite, brother of Esco, the brother of Anna, and they were allies with Abram. So now all of a sudden there's a war taking place between these kings, and to the point where they actually even take Abram's cousin Lot, or his nephew Lot, they take him and they've taken the goods and they've taken him, and now Abraham is going to respond. Watch what he does. Now when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. So we're talking about kingdoms, big kingdoms with big armies, and here Abraham goes with his 300 men to go and take on these kingdoms. How many of you know that this is going to take a miracle? He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Horeb, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the woman and the people. So he was victorious. He went with his 300 soldiers and he went into battle against what was seemingly the absolute impossible. And when he did this, he came back victorious. He came back not only with goods, but he also came back with Lot and the woman and the people. Isn't that awesome? Now watch. Genesis 14, verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Sheba. That is the king's valley. After his return from the defeat of the Chaldaroomer and the king who were with him, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of the God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High." That word, God Most High, is Elohim, possessor of heavens and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered you. So we see that it was when God revealed himself as this name, God Most High, El Elyon, that we see he delivers Abraham out of this situation, which seems to be the absolute impossible. It seems to be the absolute impossible. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered you, delivered your enemies into your hand, and gave him, and he gave him a tithe of all. So we see that God reveals himself here to Abram as the God Most High. He reveals him to him. He gives him the victory. He delivers him out of the hands of his enemies. And when he does this, Abraham responds by giving him a tenth of everything he has. Listen, church. Many of you sitting here this morning might be in a dark situation, might be in a situation that feels completely overwhelming, impossible, as though there's no solution to your answer. But the God that answers, the God Most High, El Elohim, the one that answers you, he is the one that can give it back to you, that can give you the impossible. He is the one. Amen. He is the one that can completely overturn the situation. How many of you here can believe that the situation that Abram was in was a situation that seemed absolutely impossible? So we see God Elohim, this name, it's an interesting name, Elyon, El Elyon. So we see the God El Elyon, God Most High. We see him in this situation, basically giving Abram an overturned situation, a situation that he was in that was absolutely desperate. If you are here and you are in a situation where you need a breakthrough, You need a supernatural breakthrough from God. That's what this name means. It represents a supernatural breakthrough. In this situation, we see Abram reply. Now watch this. We see Abram reply. When God reveals himself as the God Most High, this is supernatural. El, authoritative. The staff, the ox. And then we see him represent himself as God Most High. And in that moment, when Abram recognizes this, he makes a covenant with God. Let's move back to Malachi, where God says that if you bring me a tenth of what you have, I will open the windows of heaven for you. And then he makes a statement and he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. This is a promise. You see, many of you believe that the tithe was implemented in the law. No, it wasn't. It was implemented here. And the one who actually made that commitment was Abram. God replied by giving him an incredible breakthrough and revealing himself as the God Most High that will provide, that will give you breakthrough, that will overturn your situation. And he even says in this situation, like he did in that story, that I will rebuke the devourer. I will sort out the enemy for you. Amen. The reality is, it doesn't matter what your situation is right now. You can be going through something very difficult with your finances. You might have a court situation against you. But until God Most High has the final say, there is no answer that will count. Only the answer that he gives is the answer that will count. Amen. You may have a business deal. You may have a deal on your house. You may have a situation in your family that is bleak, that seems totally desperate. The answer is that God Most High, the one who gives you that answer, only when he speaks, do we get a solution? Amen. Put God first, and he will have the final say. He will make the final decision. The second name I want to look at that relates to El, which speaks of Almighty God, is El Shaddai. By now you know that the root word here is El, or the word is El, the beginning, El Shaddai. But what does the word Shaddai mean? The root word here is the word sod. Now, if we had to go into the pictograph and explain this to you, it would be very, very difficult to understand from our perspective because we think with what we see. But in the Hebrew mind back then, it made sense to them because it brings a picture of what it actually does. So let me give you a scripture out of Isaiah 60, verse 15. Isaiah 60, verse 15. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, so that no one went through you, I will make you an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. You shall drink the milk of the Gentiles and milk the breast of kings. You shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. The word breast there is the word sword, which is actually the root word for Shaddai, which represents a breast. Now, I know it sounds weird in our mind because immediately we think of a breast, but what it speaks of is supernatural provision, nurturing. That's what the word actually represents. So Shaddai actually speaks of God Almighty, but it also speaks of a God that will supply, that will cause nourishment to come to you. You see, what you may not be realizing is I've given you two names that are so powerful in the original language, because the first name represents God Almighty, a God that will cause your situation to turn completely around. El Shaddai. That causes you to have supernatural provision, regardless of what situation you're going through. It represents supply and nourishment. Amen. In Genesis 17, verse number 1, this is where this name is introduced to us. Genesis 17:1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. We can stop right there. We see God reveal himself as El Shaddai, the God who supplies, the Almighty God in that moment. And we see Abraham making this covenant with God. And it's extremely powerful. Amen. When you get to a situation of total despair in your life, the first thing that you need is you need to have El Elyon, the God Most High, that will come and rescue you out of that situation. But you also need El Shaddai, the God who supplies all of your needs, Almighty God, in that situation. You might be desperate right now. You might have a case against you right now. But God gave you a promise. You're a covenant child of God. When you're a covenant child of God, the blessing of Abraham is your blessing. He is yours. You are his child. You are with him. He's in covenant with you. And what you must understand, that qualifies Elyon as your God. That means that he is God Most High. And regardless of what you're facing right now, he has the ability to overturn that situation. While you are busy going through it, El Shaddai will supply everything you need in that situation. Now watch this. Let's go to Psalm 91. How many of you love that song? Watch this now. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, Elyon, the God Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, El Shaddai. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely, listen, he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Listen, if you decide in this moment to make God the God that leads you, your God, the God that you serve, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not some God that we don't know what it even means. Today we say, in God we trust. Who is that God that you are speaking of when you say, in God we trust? Because there's only one God. There's only one God, Elohim, Yahweh. He has many names, but he is only one. And there's only one Son of God that we are saved through. And his name is Jesus Christ. And when you covenant with him, the power of His names and who He is available to you until He has the final say in whatever situation you're going through. You need to know that you have God, Elyon, available to you, the God Most High. And while you are dealing with that and while He's getting you through it, He is also God El Shaddai, the supplier of all your needs, Almighty God. Listen, He says in His word that He will not give you more than you can handle. You can handle what you're facing right now, and He will provide for you in that situation right now that you're busy going through, because He is our provider. He will supply all of our needs. God Most High, the God who has the final say. The beautiful thing about it is that you and I don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But His love endures forever. Do you know what forever means in the original language? It means forever. El Elyon, God Most High, when you understand who He is and how powerful He is, and that He is the one who has the final say, and while you're going through it to get to the end, while you're going through it, El Shaddai will supply and nourish you and keep you going. He is Almighty God that will get you to the other side. Because He already knew you long before you were formed in your mother's womb. He already knew you would be here this morning. And don't tell me He can't get you through it. He will get you through it. Just like with Abram in that situation that seemed completely impossible, God reveals His name to him and shows him His supernatural power. If you haven't realized by now that you serve a God of the supernatural, it's time that you realize that He is the God of the impossible. If we look at the God of Israel, the God of the Hebrews, He was a pillar of fire at night, and He was a smoke in the day. And you need to understand that it was all supernatural. Every plague, every supernatural act. If you only knew what was really going on in the days of Abram, the earth was an evil place. He wasn't dealing with just normal people like we know them today. It was an ancient world. But God was busy raising up a people that would eventually go into captivity and then come out, and the Messiah would come from them. All the while, from the very beginning, God has had a desire to have a people that He would dwell with, that He would have relationship with, that would love Him and serve Him, because they choose to do it. And as you make that decision and begin to realize who God truly is in every expression of His powerful name, it will change your life. This is the God that you serve, church. It is this God that will change your circumstances, that will change your life right now. I don't know what you're going through. I know what I've been going through. And let me tell you, I've needed El Shaddai all the way. But I know who He is. And so I choose to be in the secret place. In the secret place. And in the secret place, Elyon and El Shaddai will be there to rescue me from any attack that the enemy brings against me and my life. Can we bow our heads for just a moment? Father, I thank You so much. Lord, it is so hard. I've got so much information in my head right now. To try and bring this across, it's not easy, and I ask for Your grace to do so in a way that would represent You accurately. I ask for grace, Father. And Lord, even as the next few weeks go on and I begin to unfold the meanings of your names, I ask that you would just give mercy and grace to me. And Lord, that you would empower that I speak to empower your people to know you more. That it will change their lives, Father, when they recognize who you are, the all-sufficient one. I pray, Lord, that this word this morning will change lives. Regardless of where they are and what they're going through, Father. That they will recognize that you are Elyon and El Shaddai. You are the God Most High, and you are Almighty God. But Father, we need to know you. We need to know you more. And so I thank you that your presence is here right now. If you've come here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you've never given your life to him, and this morning this message has spoken to you, you need a God that you can go to that will supply your needs, that will touch you, that will change you. If you choose to make him Lord of your life, not only believing, but choose to make him Lord of your life, and you believe, then all this is available to you. He is a God that loves you so much, regardless of where you are in your life right now, regardless of your circumstances or the situation that you're in right now. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Alex, I need to give my life to God. I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to make right with him this morning. If that's you, could I ask you just to slip your hand up real quick? I want to pray for you. Just slip your hand. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you in the back. Anybody else? Say, Pastor Alex, please pray for me. God bless you, ma'am. I need to make my life right. God bless you. Thank you so much. Anybody else? God bless you in the back. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, all of you that have raised your hands. God bless you. You can put your hand down, ma'am. Thank you. Anybody else say, Pastor Alex, please, I need to make my life right with God. I need a God like this in my life that can change my circumstances. God bless you, sir, in the back. Anybody else say, Pastor, include me in this prayer this morning. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you so much. God bless you. Can I ask you all to stand for me for just a moment? Everybody, just stand for me, please. Just stand for me, please. Now I'm going to ask those of you that raised your hands, this is your moment to come before him and to say, Lord, I want to be in your secret place. I want to give my heart to you this morning. And if you lifted your hand or you're still sitting there and you want to make this commitment, can I ask you, please, don't be shy. Please come to the front. We just want to encourage you. We want to pray for you. Please come to the front. Don't be ashamed. God bless you. Thank you so much, guys. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you guys. All those of you that lifted your hands, thank you so much, man. God bless you. God bless you guys. God bless you. Amen. Can you stand in the front here? Thank you so much, man. God bless you guys. Thank you so much. Ma'am, can you just stand over here next to this lady for me, please? Thank you so much. God bless you guys. God bless you. He's such a good God. Guys, he loves you so much. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to pray all together. And there's still people that lifted their hands that didn't come to the front. That's okay. If you want to come while we're making this prayer, you're more than welcome. Or you can just follow them on their way out to the back. If I could ask you just to pray this prayer with me. Pray it from the bottom of your heart, guys. And your life will never be the same. If we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that he is Lord, we will be changed. We will be saved. Amen. Let's pray this together. Say, Father, I come to you this morning. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died and rose again. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Forgive me for my sins. Make me a new creation. Give me a new start. I give my life to you. I give my heart to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Can you give them a big hand, guys? You'll see that there's a person standing behind you that just wants to meet you and introduce themselves to you. God bless you guys. Just follow them and they'll take you into the back. Thank you so much. God bless all of you in the back. We're going to close in prayer and I'm going to send you on your way. Let's just close. Thank you so much. Father, we thank you for what you have done this morning. I ask that you will bless these precious people as they go their separate ways. And Father, that we will apply this word to our lives in this week, and we will never be the same. I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion with the Spirit be with every one of you as you go your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.